This is the story of how Israel was able to get a protest group based in another country prescribed as a terrorist organization. The British state is acting at the behest of a foreign power. Let that sink in. When Yvette Cooper called for the prescription of Palestine action, she almost verbatim was recreating what was written by We Believe in Israel. We Believe in Israel is led by alleged Israeli spy, Catherine Shakdam. Catherine traveled to Iran under the guise of an anti-imperialist, pro-resistance journalist.
I guess they didn't do their due diligence properly. They didn't know I was Jewish, so I was let in.
She was employed by several different news platforms, where she published work which was supportive of the resistance axis against Zionism.
When this land is occupied, then they have the right and obligation to resist. And armed resistance has become a birthright when it comes to Palestine, because there is nothing else that they could do or should do.
She travelled to Iran and met with several high-ranking officials, including the soon-to-be but now deceased President Ibrahim Raisi.
I've met with now deceased President Raisi. I've walked through the corridors of powers. I've met with Ayatollah Khamenei.
Prior to doing that and becoming this pro-resistance journalist, she was employed by Israeli intelligence agency Wikistrat. The co-founder of Wikistrat and CEO is Elad Shaffer, who was head of an intelligence desk at an Israeli government agency. The other co-founder of Wikistrat is Joel Zamil, who founded the Psy Group organization, which The New Yorker described as a private Mossad. After becoming an anti-imperialist journalist and, as she called it, infiltrating Iran.
It took me a long time. It didn't happen in just a year. It took me many years of hard work to try to get as close as I could. And I got pretty close. And I was very careful never to ask too many questions. So it was just more the case of observing and trying to gather information.
She came back to the UK and somehow began work for Israel lobby groups, like the Henry Jackson Society and now We Believe in Israel, where she currently leads the campaign to prescribe Palestine Action as a terrorist organization.
Were you a spy?
No, I've had that asked to me like so many times. I think that this accusation to work with Israel is tainted with anti-Semitism.
In addition to that, We Believe in Israel has even boasted about being given access to classified police information from a counter-terror investigation into Palestine Action in 2022. Why would a lobby group for a foreign power not only be so deeply involved in the security state of this country, but why would it have access to classified documents? We Believe in Israel came out of BICOM, Israel's largest lobby group in Britain, which is currently led by Richard Pater, a reserve in the Israeli military who previously was employed by the Israeli Prime Minister's office. We Believe in Israel campaigned to remove my music from Spotify. At the time, it was led by Luke Akehurst, now serving as a Labour MP. Here is Israeli political officer from the embassy discussing Luke Akehurst and We Believe in Israel.
So Luke Akehurst is the director of We Believe in Israel. He's a great guy.
He's one of the best in the inside.
Why are we allowing a foreign lobby group led by an alleged spy to dictate what is and isn't acceptable protest in this country? What about the other lobbying? Footage has recently emerged of Board of Deputies officials admitting that they have lobbied the Home Office on the issue of Palestine Action.
We had a meeting with Dan Jarvis, the Security Minister, this week. The whole conversation was around, first of all, how they have stepped up already in terms of something that is not quite the same as prescription, and we're trying to understand exactly what that means, and they're looking at more organisations to which that could apply. In addition to that, he said they are looking to take further action on Palestine Action, and he hasn't described what that would be, but that's in the pipeline.
Of course, the Board of Deputies admitted in its own internal documents, its trustees report, that it has a close working relationship with the Israeli embassy and strengthened links to the Ministry of Strategic Affairs and the IDF spokesman's unit. Another key figure in the drive to label Palestine Action as a terrorist organization is none other than Jonathan Woodcock, now known as Lord Walney. While serving as a Labour MP, Woodcock was accused of sexual harassment. He resigned from the Labour Party. He was seemingly later rewarded with a seat in the House of Lords.
So help me God.
Following the appointment of Lord Walney as the government's independent protest advisor, he suggested the proscription of Palestine Action as a terrorist organisation. Woodcock was previously chair of the Labour Friends of Israel lobby group. Woodcock has accepted funding and hospitality from the European Leadership Network. The European Leadership Network is included on a list of organisations controlled directly by the Israeli Ministry of Diaspora Affairs, and was revealed to be one of the organisations involved in the Voices of Israel project, ran directly by the Israeli government.
So impressed with what Elnet is doing, bringing people together from across the European continent.
In addition to that, Walney chaired the Purpose Defence Coalition.
The Defence Coalition is made up of the UK's most innovative leaders and businesses in the defence sector.
A lobby group which included the arms company Leonardo, one of the targets of Palestine Action.
John, can I just ask you whether you're the right person to be advancing these arguments, given that you're a former chair of Labour Friends of Israel and Palestine Action? They say you're part of the current chair of the Defence Purpose Coalition, and you're getting funding from the Israel lobby.
I think when any organisation starts talking about an Israel lobby, they need to look at their own slide into antisemitism.
But as a perception, John, I mean, you are the former chair of Labour Friends of Israel.
Mm.
Do you not see that, how this is going to come across?
It's also now known that Yvette Cooper, the minister responsible for prescribing Palestine Action, has received funding from Israel lobbyists. And Keir Starmer is somebody who has been handsomely funded by Israel lobbyists. Keir Starmer is a supposed human rights lawyer who has previously acted on behalf of those accused of taking direct action to stop war crimes. He's gone from supporting those taking direction to stop war crimes to supporting those carrying out war crimes and criminalizing and terrorizing those who have a conscience. The government is compromised and not applying international law. According to the Convention on the Prevention and Punishment of Genocide, all parties are under obligation to prevent the occurrence of genocide and punish those responsible for its commission. As a signatory and ratifier of the Arms Trade Treaty, Britain must not make any arms exports which may be used for violations of international humanitarian law. In essence, the UK government is breaking its own laws to export arms to Israel. In July 2020, the protest group Palestine Action launched with the sole purpose of stopping the export of arms from Britain to Israel and shutting down Israel's largest arms company, Elbit Systems, from operating in this country. Palestine Action's activities continued for 2 years following that, and it was very common to see Palestine Actionists enter court as the accused but leave as the accuser, regularly being acquitted for their actions against the Israeli arms company on the basis that they were preventing a greater war crime. However, on March 2, 2022, British Home Secretary Priti Patel met with the CEO of Elbit Systems UK, Martin Fawcett. Priti Patel herself was found to have met over 10 times in secret meetings with Israeli officials without the knowledge of her own government. Home Office documents made clear that the purpose of the meeting between Priti Patel and Martin Fawcett was to reassure Elbit Systems that the protests against the company were being taken seriously by the government. Elbit asserted that Palestine Action was well organised, funded and trained, and they wanted Priti Patel's government to do more to stop the movement. A list of actions was suggested following the meeting, however all of those actions have been redacted. Priti Patel's private secretary in the meeting made notes which acknowledged the following. Palestine Action's criminal activity is for the police to investigate, and though they are operationally independent of the government, meaning the government cannot direct their response, officials have been in contact with the police about Palestine action. On the 29th of March 2022, 2 years after the launching of the movement, the first Palestine actionist was convicted in courts. That was less than a month after Priti Patel met with the CEO of Elbit UK and assured him that the government were working to influence the police in their investigations into the group. More declassified documents have shown that the Israeli embassy sought to lobby the Attorney General's office in May 2022 on the issue of Palestine action cases. On the 19th of April 2023, Policing Minister Chris Philp held a meeting with Elbit Systems UK. What makes this meeting even more interesting is that it was attended by an official from the Attorney General's office, who was representing the Crown Prosecution Service. According to General Principle 2.1 of the Crown Prosecution's Code of Conduct, prosecutors should be free from any political influence on their job. A violation of the code should have amounted to the dismissal of all Palestine action cases. How could you have an official representing the CPS sitting in on a meeting with the Minister of Policing and Elbit Systems to discuss Palestine action? In spring 2023, Palestine Action launched a campaign against UAV Tactical Systems, a drone factory operated by Elbit Systems in Leicester. Chris Philp, the Minister for Policing, who had been lobbied by Elbit Systems, met with the Deputy Chief Constable in Leicester to discuss Palestine action. A police report was subsequently divulged in court, in which it makes clear that the Leicester police were given a quote-unquote real push to support the legitimate business, and proactive work with Meta, Facebook and Instagram was suggested. In addition to that, the Minister for Policing pushed the Leicester police to remand all of those arrested and show that police were expecting to take strong steps and prosecutions against those that were arrested at the site. In fact, it was explicitly stated in this document that the focus was not on facilitating peaceful protesters, but facilitating the company's operations. So here we see the UK Home Office directly instructing Leicester Police to prioritise the interests of a foreign company carrying out violations of international humanitarian law and operating on British soil over the rights of citizens hoping to practice their right to protest outside the factory. But when it comes to Leicester, the plot thickens when you consider that Leicester Police use a subsidiary of Elbit Systems to help them in their investigations. NICE Systems was founded by five alumni of Israel's Signal Intelligence Unit 8200. And NICE Systems is an owned subsidiary of Elbit Systems. So while the Leicester Police were arresting Palestine Action activists and members of the community, they may have been using this subsidiary of Elbit Systems to help with their investigations.
Elbit Systems, for a safer, more secure world.
It has also been revealed that Elbit Systems has its own intelligence cell operating in this country to surveil Palestine Action and directly share that information which it obtains with the police. It's also been revealed that Elbit Systems UK Security Director, Chris Morgan, directly lobbied the policing minister, Chris Philp, in 2024. In the letter, Morgan stated, "The founders and controlling minds of the Palestine Action criminal group, Richard Barnard and Huda Amori, were on trial for a multitude of offences. Whilst Barnard was found guilty of criminal damage at one of our sites, the jury failed to reach a verdict on seven other charges. Morgan was concerned that a retrial was not a certainty and suggested it was very much in the public interest for this trial to be reheard at the earliest opportunity. He went to great lengths to emphasise the prolific and serious nature of Palestine Action's offending." So here you have the security director of Elbit Systems directly lobbying for the retrial of the founders of Palestine Action. The CPS then did schedule the retrial of Palestine Action founders for 2027. Yvette Cooper is attempting to strong arm Parliament by listing Palestine Action alongside an organisation known as the Maniac Murder Cult and the Russian League of Imperialism for the proscription as terrorist groups, meaning that if MPs in Parliament vote against Palestine Action being proscribed, they are also voting against an organisation called the Maniac Murder Cult. This is a clear engineering of the political process. We also cannot forget that a key leak has been made from the Home Office showing that many employees of that key British institution are seriously concerned and worried about the validity of this proscription of Palestine Action. They see it as a naked attempt to protect the profits of arms companies. It's time for people to ask themselves whether they want their political representatives to act on their behalf or on behalf of a foreign state carrying out genocide. This is bigger than Palestine Action. This is about you. Any right that you think you have in this society can and will be taken away. It's important that information like this is made available to the public so that you can make informed decisions about what you do. This can only come through independent media like Double Down News. Please join the Patreon today.